So unashamedly, you tell an evangelist that, that means I'm going to talk about it, and then we're going to sing Just As I Am until I get a volunteer from every table signed up, all right? Daryl Weaver and I developed the Impact Communication Conference. Our first conference was in 2019. We just did our seventh one last month in Wirtz, Virginia. Our eighth conference and final one for 2023 is coming up June 7th to the 10th in Sugar Creek, Ohio. And what the Impact Communication Conference is a 3.5 days training in communication. So Daryl and I have, we've written the laws of impact communication. We do know how to spell. Both of us are school teachers. But the reason it's spelled like this is an acronym for the laws of impact: law of inspiration, law of motivation, law of personalization, law of application, law of clarification. We'll teach those laws at our conference. Every law answers a question. Law of inspiration answers the question, what do I want them to know? Law of motivation answers the question, why do I want them to know? And those are the two foundations for all of our communication, okay? And then out of that, we teach you how to develop an I am sentence for what when you're preaching, when you're teaching in sales, that type of thing. So inspiration, what do I want them to know? Motivation, why do I want them to know? Personalization, how does this help me? Some communicators think that they think it's proud to tell stories from their own life. When if you believe what you teach, if you use what you sell, if you practice a habit that you're teaching and you don't share that, you rob your message of power and clarity. Law of personalization answers the question, how does this help me? Okay, law of application, what I want them to do. And I've already talked about that. And then the law of clarification. This is one of my favorite ones because this is the one that most of us just like to skip. Law of clarification is how will I help them remember? We think that once I've got the information all down, I'm ready to give it. But if we put the extra work in saying, how can I package it in a way that they'll remember it? And we teach that with the law of clarification. So an Impact Communication Conference is 3.5 days where Daryl and I teach 8 sessions. We each do 4. And those who come are put in a small speech group of 5 to 7 people, max is 7, with a speech coach. Okay, so we have about 18 speech coaches that Daryl and I have trained. And then Daryl and I will also be speech coaches. So you are in a speech group with a speech coach and you come to the conference with a 5-minute speech prepared. It can be about anything. Okay, it can be about your favorite food, your hobby. It can be about a Bible verse. It could be about President Trump. You know, it could be about anything, right? Actually, maybe not Trump because it's not supposed to be anything controversial. Nothing controversial, nothing that you're too emotionally attached if somebody's going to debate it. So you come with a 5-minute speech prepared. First day registration, we have 1 session, and then you go to your speech group and you give that first 5-minute speech, okay? After you give them that speech, everybody in that group, your speech coach and the other 5 to 6 people, go around the circle and they say, here's what you wanted me to know. And the next person says, here's what you wanted me to know. And then when they're all done, then you say, here's what I wanted you to know. That's great feedback, okay? Then after that, we go around the circle and everybody gives commendations. Here's some things you did really well. This helped me remember. This is really good. After that, we give critique. Here's some things that were distractive. Here's some things you could work on. The next day in the morning, Daryl and I teach 3 sessions on the laws of impact. Then in the afternoon, you develop your second 5-minute speech, a brand new one, and your coach helps you on that, so you get to check in with your coach. And then that evening after dinner, you're back to the same speech group with the same coach, and everybody gives their second speech, okay? The third day, same thing. In the morning, Daryl and I'll teach 3 more sessions, and then we get into delivery, stage presence, illustrations, things like this. Then in the afternoon, you develop your third speech, and your coach is working with you. And we give you a worksheet to help you in preparation, and the coach is working with some things. And then that evening, you give the third speech to the same group. So then the last day, so our conference out in Ohio starts Wednesday afternoon at 4. You're done by 10:30 Saturday morning. And it's 8 o'clock till nine in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. But we got good Holmes County caterers cooking the food for you. 70% of the impact of this conference is what happens in a small speech group. Repeatedly, that's what our people tell us after they take our conference. And here's why. You have people that are going to be nice, and it's easy to be nice when they know that they're going to take your place up here in critique. You have people speaking into your communication skills that most of you don't have the opportunity to that happen, okay? How many times after Sunday school does somebody come up to you and say, you know what, that was pretty good, but if you would stop doing this, it would help me focus, and if you would maybe do some of this, or, no, who's going to do that, okay? And for sure for us preachers, you know, we can stand at the back of the auditorium, and most of them are just going to say, good job, and thank you very much, and sometimes even if they don't mean it, and if there is something we're doing wrong, who's going to tell us? And guess what? We can get really good at bad habits. So at the Impact Communication Conference, you know, this is what we say. When you speak, when you teach, everybody critiques you. Just at Impact, we're going to do it to your face, okay? And we're going to help you get better. So that's Impact Communication Conference. I have a bunch of these flyers here, so help yourselves. And all our website, all the information is on there. So there you go. So our last conference is June 7 to 10 in Sugar Creek, Ohio this year. Next year, we have one in Kansas in the fall, and we don't have our other one scheduled yet. That's what the Impact Communication Conference is. Daryl and I's vision for this came out of when I was back on furlough from Thailand in 2013, went to Colorado to Ken Davis's SCORE conference, which is similar, and Daryl and I went there together. I paid over $2,000 to have my speech coach tell me this. You're too intense. Your voice is just intense the whole time. I don't know how many people would be happy to know that somebody told me, your voice is too intense. Nobody ever told me that before, okay? That's the only thing that I really remember from that conference. I'd read Ken's book before. I watched his DVDs, taking groups for it. So his content wasn't new. But I never had a personal coach listen to me speak and then say this, okay? I got home from that conference, and I was driving our vehicle one day, and I just, several months before, had just been the evangelist for the Holmes County Beachy Church's tent meetings. And so it was like a 10-day tent meeting, and they record it all, and then they give the CDs to everybody, and or people can order them. And then they give them to me. Why would they do that? Mm-hmm. So I was brave enough to listen to myself. I put one in, and guess what just screamed out at me as I started listening to that? My voice was so intense. It was just hard to listen to. I shut it off, and I never listened to another one of them. That was after my coach spoke that to me. I needed to hear that. So I could tell you what he said, what I need to do, but come to the conference. We'll give you more of that later. Okay? All right. So, bow your heads. We're going to sing Just As I Am here for a little while. let's take this paper, 45 minutes for eternity. Now, where do I get that? That's what people think when you're teaching. This is 45 minutes or is this eternity? No, that's not what I mean. What I mean by that is you have 45 minutes to invest in eternity. What two things are eternal? Is it not the Word of God and people? And you've got 45 minutes to take the Word of God and to give it to people. That's investing for eternity. The verse right below that, we are laborers together, what's the next word?
With God.
God doesn't say, you're my slaves, you go do this. We're laborers together with Him, and you as Sunday school teachers, you're partnering with God. Wow. And you get to impact eternity. Now, before we get into this session here, I would like you to, maybe on the back side, if you have a question about Sunday school teaching that you came tonight with, you say, I hope he answers this, write it down, okay? You don't need to make one up, but if you've got a question about Sunday school, about teaching, write it down on the back side of that paper. I'm going to give you a few hands-on things. We're gonna talk about Sunday school teaching, and then at the end, if I haven't answered that question, I'll give you the opportunity to ask it. And then I'll have Ray answer for you. So go ahead and write down. If there's a question that you have, go ahead and write it down, and then we'll get to that at the end. And while you're writing that down, if you have a question, my biggest prayer warrior is my mom. I'm grateful for my mom and her prayers for me and for my family. Probably the next biggest prayer warrior I have is Frank Yoder. He was my Sunday school teacher when I was 9 and then again when I was 15. And at our church where I grew up in Clona, Iowa, you signed up to teach Sunday school, you taught for the whole year, okay? So you taught every Sunday for the whole year. And when the Sunday school year was over, then somebody else would teach. So it was a commitment. Every Sunday, we came to class as 9-year-old boys. We knew who was going to be there. It was going to be Frank, okay? I don't know how long you do your commitments here. In a lot of churches, they rotate and you teach one Sunday and then somebody else does, okay? You rob yourself the opportunity of some continuity, of relationship, of building on what we did this week to the next week when you've got the same teacher. And I got to experience Frank for a whole year as a 9-year-old and then again as a 15-year-old. Frank did this kind of thing. Like, the class was all boys, 9 and 10-year-old boys. And so not only did he love on us in the class and teach us a lesson, but he would invite us over for Sunday lunch. And I still remember what he had. He had it, got his grill going, and he had hot dogs on there with bacon wrapped around them, and they were turning on the grill, and we had our bacon and hot dog sandwiches. And later on the afternoon, I remember laying on a blanket out there in the yard. Frank was there too, and we're looking up at the sky, and he's saying, "So what do you guys want to be when you get big?" And we talked about these things. And he took us horseback riding. Frank cared about us. Frank invested in us. I frequently get emails from Frank saying, "Hey, it's Tuesday morning. Me and my small group are praying for you as you're on the field and what you're doing." He greatly influenced my life. What was his window to do it? Sunday school teacher. He was a Sunday school teacher. He didn't have to have us over for lunch. He didn't have to invest that type of care in us. But he did it. Why? Because he cared. You know the number one way you motivate people? And some of us are saying, like, how do we motivate? Like, help me know how to motivate my kids at home or my class. Here's what I learned from Dr. Hendricks. It's your compassion that motivates. When somebody knows you care about them, you have high probability in motivating them. Okay? You can use all types of techniques and gimmicks and whatever else to motivate, but if they don't know you care about them, you won't motivate them. And Frank cared. And Frank has a list of Sunday school boys that he prays for, and he sends an email out. "How are you doing? How can I pray for you?" How did he get that opportunity? He was my Sunday school teacher. He was my Sunday school teacher. I wonder how many people are going through your Sunday school classes that are being impacted because their teacher cares. Okay? That doesn't just happen for little boys. Sunday school's unique. When you're in the sanctuary and the pastor gets up to preach, he's preaching. And yeah, as a preacher, you can connect, but not on a level that you can in the class, okay? So you have great opportunity to get to know the people in your class, to connect with them. Let me give you three keys for effective Sunday school teaching. And I give you these three keys. I want you to learn three keys for effective Sunday school teaching so that you can teach with confidence and with passion. I want you to be able to come to your class and you got confidence in what you're doing and you're passionate about what you're doing, okay? Don't go to your class and open up your time as, "You know what, this week was a really busy week, so I didn't really have any time to study, so I'm gonna need your help." Okay, you just declared to the class that you don't really care or you didn't have time to care and they better pick you up. And their expectations just kind of go like this, whoop. And usually we get what we expect. So don't just shoot down their expectations. You want to care more about it. I want you to come in confident and passionate about what you're doing. So here's some keys. I'm not doing a PowerPoint for you. Most of you in your study classes, you don't have PowerPoint, right? No. Okay. So I'm just going to give you a thing. First word I want you to write in here is be creative. Be creative. The higher your predictability, so your first word writing is creative, then right underneath this, the higher your predictability, the lower your impact. Okay? I'm quoting Dr. Hendricks again. And by the way, here's a great book, an easy read, Teaching to Change Lives. This was my textbook at IGO for 11 years in Principles of Teaching class. A great read. He has a DVD series. It was filmed in the 80s, so that dates the video, but his principles are great. Teaching to Change Lives, The Seven Laws of the Teacher. Great series. This book is an easy read where he teaches the laws of teaching, the laws of the teacher. Many good things in there. You know what changed his life? His Sunday school teacher. Okay? He grew up in a part of Philadelphia where they said no good kids can come out of there. The only time he saw his mom and dad together was in court getting their divorce. And the guy's was a phenomenal teacher in the evangelical circles. It was his Sunday school teacher that impacted him. Teaching to Change Lives, a great resource for any of you to read. Dr. Hendricks said this. He says, the greater your predictability, the lower your impact. Jesus was far too unpredictable to be boring. Okay? When people come into your class, if they know this is exactly what happens every time and this is how it works, it's easy to fall asleep and to wake up and you know right where things are going to be, okay? You want to get some, pique their interest, then mix it up. Get creative. That will help pique their interest. The lower your predictability, the higher impact. And this is in regards, some of you are saying, uh-oh, I thought we're supposed to be predictable. Okay, this is in regards to methods, not character. Okay, now we can relax. All right. Our character must always be predictable. They know you as a patient teacher. They know you as someone who cares. And you're always going to care. This is in regards to methods. The higher your predictability in your methods, the lower your impact. Jesus was far too, and let's write this in here, unpredictable to ever be boring. Okay, let me just give an example. They came to Jesus with a question. I told you the story before. Jesus told them a story. So one time they came to him with a question. And they said, Master, is it right? Do we have to pay taxes? What'd Jesus do? He says, somebody got a coin around here? Give me a coin. Whose picture's on here? Caesar's. Give to Caesar's what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's. Now, you know who asked him this? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they never got together on anything except to corner Jesus. And that was one of those times. And Jesus just kind of blew them away with this unpredictable way. How did Jesus heal the blind people? One time he did it this way, one time that way. Jesus was far too unpredictable to be boring. Go ahead and be unpredictable in your method, okay? In what you do in your class. Ways to be creative. And I'm just going to jot some down, give some to you here. You can write them down. You'll get some of that. One thing can be to change up the seating in your class. Now, you may have found out a good way. You may not have to do that, but sometimes that can be mix up your seating, your classroom setup. One thing is go for a circle. If you're trying to get, if you're not lecturing, you want to have interaction. Change your methods. Do small group activities. So I was teaching the youth class. I was a youth teacher at our church at Family Harvest last year, and we were going through the book of James. I want the youth to be involved. Okay, so as we came to the first time to the book of James, as I was studying for the lesson, this is what I did that Sunday. Our text was James 1:1-8. And if you have any control over the amount of text for your lesson, try to keep it a little bit narrow. Sometimes we do. Today we're studying James 1. And you're going to do that in 45 minutes and have discussion? No, you're not going to do James 1. You'll do a few verses of it. So James 1:1-8. We have 8 verses for our Sunday school class, okay? I came up with 8 questions here. I'm sorry, 10 questions. I printed out a sheet for everybody in the class. And I have about 15, 18 youth. So I numbered them off in threes. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So they're not going to be with their friends that they're sitting beside. And I said, all right, take your chairs. And so they kind of sit in a circle, and I'm sitting here as a teacher. Everybody's got a paper. So the ones are here, twos are here, threes, you know. So I had six groups of three. And I said, I want you all to read James 1, 1 to 8 together. Somebody in your group read it. And then I want you all to answer these questions here. Give you guys 15 minutes to do that. All right? What did I do during those 15 minutes? I just sat there and listened. It was easy teaching during those 15 minutes, right? There was a lot of good teaching happening. They were discovering these things for themselves. When the 15 minutes were up, and, you know, I might have stopped over and just checked on them. You guys, you understand the questions? How are we coming? When the 15 minutes were up, I said, okay, let's just turn our chairs back in. So now they're still in their groups. I said, all right, question one. What do you have for this one? What did you all have for this one? Okay. Question two. And I just got different groups. Now, they had found these for themselves. That's called discovery learning, which is a very effective way. And they were answering this. Did I do that every Sunday? No. But I did that Sunday. And it was a great Sunday. It was far better than me coming and sitting down and say, okay, why don't you start over here and you read verse 1, verse 2, we'll go around the circle. Now, does anybody have any comments? And then when nobody has any comments, then I lecture for the rest of the class. Okay? That's very predictable. And that's usually not very effective. So find ways to mix it up for them. Another way you can do is hand out some questions. Look at the text of your lesson. Maybe take some 3x5 cards and write out some questions that you have and say, okay, coming into class, here's one for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. I want you to look at that question. And in the class today, when we get to that, I want you to give me your answer, your thoughts on this. Okay, that can be a great way to get them involved. Sometimes, some of you that teach adults, you're like, I don't need to try to get involvement. I need to get a few of them to be quiet. You know what you can do to help those that talk too much? Is talk to them privately outside of class and tell them, I appreciate how you engage in the class. I love it. You do a great job. There's a few people that don't talk at all. Would you help me in getting them to talk? Like, I know you can answer everything, but just let's hold back and see if we can get them. I think you can do it in a positive way that invites them to realize, you know, we want others to speak too. As far as being creative, bring in current day events. All right. Don't just come in and we're going right to James 1. What just happened in their lives that week in our world? That's a big thing. And how can that connect to your lesson? So bring in current day events or issues to talk about with your text. Bring an object lesson, okay? How many of you like my cow? My what? Okay, what is this? Okay, quack, quack. It's the duck. How many say it's the duck, right? It's a duck? All right. It looks like a duck. Actually, it's a duck decoy. Okay? And what this decoy is for, it's to put in the water, to sit out there, to attract real ducks, to help them relax and say, you know what, there's one of us down there, and they're fine. And this is to attract the real ducks in so that the hunter can get them. Okay? So while this looks like a duck, it's not a real duck. Sometimes we can look like a Christian. We can look like we love God. We can look like we're committed. When inside, we're far from God. We may answer the questions. We may try to look like, you know what? Yeah, I got it together. When really inside, no, that's not what's going on. And when we start putting on a front, we aren't what we're portraying, we don't want to get to there. Because you can fool people and you can put it on the front, and the more you do it, you can get good at it. You don't want to do that. You want to be the real deal. Now, if you're speaking to youth, maybe speaking to children, this is an object. Bring an object to your class. You can do some things like that that mix it up. You do that, you know what that tells them? Besides you like to hunt ducks. That tells them you planned ahead, okay? You didn't just come into class, what's in the pulpit here? You know, oh yeah, okay, this is a marker. And no, you put some thought into this, you prepared ahead of time, that communicates something. So use an object lesson, especially for youth, for children. Adults, do we like object lessons? Usually. So those are some ways of being creative. Second thing we wanna write down here, get class participation. So number two is write down participation. And again, I'm going to quote Dr. Hendricks. Pardon me for how much I take from him. Maximum learning is always a result of maximum involvement. Okay? Maximum learning is always a result of maximum involvement. So you want to get your class involved. Now, one of the best ways to get your class involved is through homework. Now let's just say that for our class this week, we're studying John chapter 17, okay? So this right here is the start of class. Oh, I got that down there. This is the start of class. So what time's our class start? What time's your Sunday school class?
9 o'clock.
I'm sorry?
9 a.m.
9 a.m. So here we are. This is 9 a.m. and we're supposed to be done at what, 9:45?
Yep.
No, okay, so here's 9:45, right? So our students come into class, I'm going to teach on John 17. Now, like most people come to Sunday school class, they don't know what the text is. They probably haven't read the lesson, or you know, maybe they did on the way to church. I don't know where yours are at. But often, we come to the class, oh yeah, it's John 17. What's John 17? So I'm the teacher. I've got 45 minutes here. So I'm going to spend this time where I'm going to be teaching on John 17. This is Jesus' prayer in the garden. And there's a lot of good things. So I'm teaching through here. And slowly, as I'm teaching, they're, oh, okay, so this happened. And Jesus prayed for unity and how this, okay. And by the time we get to here, to the 9:45, they're warmed up to the lesson. And they even have a few questions about John 17 and Jesus' prayer. And what did he mean by this? And then we say, well, it's time to close. Come back next week for a look at John 18. And next week they'll come back and, you know, who knows what's in John 18 and who really cares? And we start them cold. What you want to do is you want to move the start of learning ahead of class time, okay? So you want them to come to class warmed up to the lesson. And the way you can do that, we're just going to move the start of class up here, okay? So they've had this amount of time to be warmed up. And how are we going to get them warmed up? You do that through homework, okay? So you are going to send home with them this Sunday, if we're teaching John 17 this week, but I'm like, okay, I want them to come warmed up next week. So I'm going to send them home with an assignment. Next week, we're looking at John 18. I've got two questions for you that I want you to come to class ready for on John 18. When they come to class next time, they've already read these questions. They've read the text. They've got these questions. We're starting class here, and they're already warmed up to the lesson. And so we're ready to go, and we can expand the learning because they're warmed up. Any sport you do, you warm up ahead of time. Okay? And communication, teaching that's effective, it's most effective when both the learner and the teacher are adequately prepared. And how do you prepare your students? A great way is homework. Now, some of you are like, but we can't get our people to do homework. I get that. So if you can't get them to do homework, then when they come to class, give them what you would have given them for homework. So we're looking at John 18 this week. So I have two questions here from John 18. That I want you to look at these, and we're going to take the first 5 minutes, and I just want you to look at the text, and you come with your answer for this. Do the homework, do the assignment that you would have done, do it in class. And I think if you hold off on your teaching until here and give them some time to get warmed up, you'll be more effective. So that's one way that we can get class participation. The best Sunday school classes are where the teachers aren't lecturing, all right? Your homework, and this I carried with me into teaching in school and at IGO and so on, your homework should always be preparation for the next lesson. It's not leftovers from this one, okay? So I'm going to give you an assignment that's going to prepare you for what we're coming to. Number three, yet. Give application. Give application. I touched on this earlier. We do not teach to only inform, but to compel to action. So we're learning James, James chapter 1. So I'm studying that with the youth. What are we going to learn out of this? What do I want them to do? We can talk about, you know, who's the author of James. And, you know, that's a killer that's going to change their life, right? Don't ask questions that are right there in the text. It kind of just dumbs down the whole group. If it's right there and they know it, just go ahead and say it. Don't ask them. But what is it that they can do with what we're learning? So as we're looking at James 1, one of the things talks about, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give to all men liberally. So here's something I want you to come away with from this lesson. You're facing something where, like, you don't know what to do. You know what God said? Ask for wisdom, and he's going to give it generously to you. You want to look at another one from James would be about being patient in your trials. Talks about persevering. So look for ways to bring application. You want them to apply what they're learning. What do you want your students to do when you're teaching? What's the purpose of the passage you are studying? Far too much of our teaching is just information. What do you want them to do? That is true even when you're teaching. I don't know where the teachers are. They're teaching the children. But what are you wanting them to do with what they're learning? Give them an outlet. Here's how you can practice it. Here's where you can do this. So this is the time of year when you're going to your CPAs, right? To your certified public accountants to do your taxes, that type of thing. What I just gave you are the CPAs of teaching. So let's just write them down. Okay, creative. Be creative. Participation. You want participation. Good Sunday school classes have participation. So you want to have participation. And then application. We're always going to have application. We're going to make sure that we've got a good amount of time for application in our classes. We're not just trying to cover information. We're going to teach it and then give them opportunity to apply it. Now, are there any questions that you had at the start that you would that weren't answered that you would like to ask? Yes, sir.
What is the biggest challenge facing the adult Sunday school class in the Anabaptist culture?
All right, you ready, Ray?
Whatever the answer is, how do we prepare to work?
Say your question again.
What is the biggest challenge facing the adult Sunday school class in the Anabaptist culture?
That will really vary with churches. Well, to me, what is the biggest challenge facing the Anabaptist churches? Say it one more time for me while I finish processing.
The biggest challenge facing the adult Sunday school class within the Anabaptist church.
Okay. One thing can be is teaching us something new. Most of your adults have grown up in church. And we just come and our expectations are we're just going to hear something we heard again. So we're kind of often can be in a rut, and how do we get them out of that rut? And how are we helping not only learn something new, but challenge them to really do something? In our Anabaptist churches, this comes to my mind, and it is very true. I don't know if it's true of your congregation here. And I don't want to put groups in a box. But it seems like the more conservative our Anabaptist groups are, the more we have this put on a front and act like everything is okay. Okay? And we don't know how to be open and honest. I think that's one of the great challenges is helping our adults just open up and be honest and saying, you know what? I come to class today and I'm not doing good. I need help. To me, that for sure is what I would say. My wife's on a committee for a ladies' conference that's happening, and just how do we get these ladies to open up? And just so many people just put on this mask, and okay, and sometimes even as parents, you have a child that gets out of the bed and they, you know, got out of the bed at the wrong side, you know, they're grouchy, and a mom says this, "You go back to bed and stay there until you're ready to get up and be happy." Okay, why are they unhappy? What's going on inside here? Is it wrong to express how I feel? Now, we need to have some maturity and self-control in that, but we teach our children from little up, put on a mask, put on a happy face. So to me, that would be a big one. How can I get my Sunday school class, the guys around this table, just to be honest and say, you know what, this week I did something I shouldn't have. So that's my answer to that. Great question. Anyone else?
Where do you come up with creative things when you can't think of
it? Thank you. That's good. That's good. You need to have that app, all right? If, you know, one thing is, as a teacher, you want to have personal illustrations. You want to have creative things. You're not going to get them on Saturday. You want to put as much distance between your prep time and your delivery time as you can. So if you're teaching Sunday school, today's Monday. Okay, what am I teaching? What's my lesson? So I'm going to study the lesson. And then I have all week as I'm thinking about what we're going to be talking about. And then you'll see something like, that's just like right in line with what I'm doing. Okay? So I'm preparing to preach. 2 weeks ago, we were in Ohio. And Sunday morning, I'm preaching on spiritual warfare for the church. I felt like God wanted me to share that. And that week, I knew what I'm going to preach on. I'm driving down the road, and I see this apartment. So I'm coming back from the post office. I see this apartment building, and up on the roof, they had this plastic owl, kind of like that duck, but a plastic owl up there. You know, why would they have that up there? To keep the birds away, right? So they don't make nests in there. There were like 25 pigeons all gathered around the owl looking at the thing. I'm like, it's not working. It's not working. What you're doing is not working. Like, it's actually attracting these pigeons. I opened my sermon with that. And too often we as Christians, what we're doing isn't working. We're not walking in victory. What clicked on that? I already knew where I was going. It was already up here. So give yourself as much space as you can. You know what you're coming through. And then just throughout the week, often things we see, things we happen. Having 8 kids helps give good illustrations too. Even things on the news, whatever. I get a lot of good stories from around the table. Any other questions yet? All right, let me just pray for y'all as teachers. You labor with God, and it's a high calling. So I'll close my time with this, and I'll turn it over back to Dell. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I'm here with people who are investing in your kingdom. And Father, too often we don't realize how big of an opportunity we have. We've got 45 minutes with souls who are often struggling, who are hungry, maybe who are on their way out. And we've got an opportunity. Father, I pray for the teachers here at New Covenant. I pray that you would encourage them, that you would inspire them. Father, I pray that you would bless their effort. I pray you'd give them a heart for their students. I pray for the Sunday school committee that you continue to give them a heart for their teachers, and that together they would just be continually reminded that they are laborers together with you. Father, bless them as they continue to prepare and to teach. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.